Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey guys, so we do these Talking Metal Live things every Friday night on Facebook, John Astronomy's Facebook page, so check us out there. This is one that we recorded on May 8th with the one and only Chips Enough. So we'll check it out, and we're going to squeeze some Enough's Enough music in there at some point. Put it in there. It might sound a little awkward, but we'll throw it in there. And yeah, that's that. I say it might sound a little awkward because John was trying to hang up on Chips Enough at the end of the interview, but he hung up on me, so then he had to get me back. But somewhere right in that section, I'm going to play a new Enough's Enough song, newer Enough's Enough song from like 2 years ago. But anyways, cool. Here we go.
It's Mark Striegel and John Astronomy hanging out here on a Friday night on the Talking Metal live stream with the one and only Chips Enough. Chip, how are you, man?
I'm same as you, Cass. Sequestered in our houses, trying to get through the day. Every single minute is challenging for all of us. I'm glad to see you guys out there doing well, though.
Great Absolutely. To see you, too. So great to see you. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. We really appreciate it. Chip, I just have to say, out of all the touring that I've done, you are my brother. You're the closest to anyone I've been on tour, both with Ace Frehley and when Like It opens up for you guys. Thank you for all the cool stuff and for being cool to me.
Listen, I appreciate your time too as well. But you guys got a strong band. Those shows we play with Ace Frehley are jam-packed. Every single night they're sold out. I'm grateful to be on a tour like that any time of the year. And always call me my friend because I'll come out and play. I like plugging in and playing my music. And I know that you guys have a lot of secrets that you don't want to let the audience know about that we share together, you and I, from those tours. And let's keep it that way.
Okay, perfect. So, Chip, go ahead, Mark, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, so, Chip, you know, it's just bad news after bad news on the news day after day, which is why I was so psyched to get a little good news. I think, you know, I'm a long time Enough's Enough fan. I was in the fan club way back in 1989. And to get the news that you guys are already coming back with a new record. I mean, Diamond Boy was amazing, what, less than 2 years ago. And now you've announced Brainwash Generation coming out soon, right? This summer.
Yeah, Frontiers putting another record out for Enough. So the third one on Frontiers comes out July 10th. Mark, the last time I've seen you was with your lovely wife. We were backstage at the M3 Festival.
Yeah, you had me on your tour bus. That was amazing.
I think Whitesnake had a bus and Enough Snuff had a bus. And you guys came over and hung out with us. And really, it was a lot of fun. And I had no idea that I was going to be putting another record out right after that. But as we are right now, I think it's the perfect time to put a new record out. 10 strong songs, got some good players on that have sat in with me on this record. Most notably, Mike Portnoy from Winery Dogs and Sons of Apollo. and of Dax Nielsen from Cheap Trick. And I think the fans will be pleasantly surprised when they hear this next record.
Wow, I cannot wait to hear it. And we heard the track. The first track is out. And now that was let's see, the first track. Tell me again, what was the
Fatal Distraction.
Fatal Distraction, right. Now is that an older song, Chip, that had been kicking around that you guys have dug out of the vaults?
Yeah, I was listening to old demos and stuff, and I wanted to find something that was full of life and piss and vinegar. And that was an old track that Donnie and I wrote years ago. I remember doing the demos on it in my bedroom and on a little four-track Fostex. And then here I am now, you know, so many years later, re-recording it again, except I'm singing all lead vocals on it.
Right.
And it was quite a challenge. I had a lot of fun. It brought it back memories of the old days when there was no rules, no regulations. We went out there, no handcuffs. We'd make these records in our apartments, you know, and it was just a lot of fun. We had a drum machine and a guitar amp and a bass amp, and we just plugged in and played. And there wasn't much room for error in those days. And you made these demo tapes and you sent them out to your record company, whoever it would be. And they'd say yes or no. And most of the songs were accepted on all the Enough Snuff albums, but that was one that slipped through the cracks. And I really wanted to share it with the audience. It's nice to have Donnie back on an Enough Snuff album with me too, as well.
That's excellent. And Chip, let's talk about some of the other guys in your band. You just recently got Alex Kane back in the group.
Original guitar player, Alex Kane. Everybody knows Alex from Life, Sex, and Death and his other band, Antiproduct. Wonderful guitar player. And he put together Enough Snuff with me back in the early days. So to have an original guy back in the band with me, it's quite a good feeling to know that when we book shows that promoters know that there's a couple original guys still in the band, because in this day and age, they have anybody original in the group is unheard of.
Right.
So I'm very grateful I haven't been there. And I also have Tori Stoffregen. And Tori Stoffregen, he played with Enough's Enough for the last dozen years or so. He's got a band called New Black Seven as well. And he's a wonderful guitar player. And then, of course, the band's rounded out by our drummer, Dan Hill.
Yeah, Danny's great, and Tori is a monster on the guitar. He is just unbelievable, and I think you got a perfect lineup, and I just love listening to you guys every night when we're out on the road together.
Yeah, nothing like it when we're all touring around the country. Bro, I remember the last tour we did with Ace. I was going to your bus every single day and grabbing cupcakes and cookies and anything I could find to eat. Because there was no budget on the road. Everybody goes, oh, it's so glamorous playing in a rock band traveling around the country, a group that sold millions of records. Well, yeah, we did in the past. Now it's out there, and we're just like everybody else. It's a wash, rinse, repeat. It's a lot of hard work traveling around the Oscar Minor Wiener Wagon. That tour where you guys had a bus, and Ace, of course, was flying everywhere, and which is great. He deserves to be. And we were following you guys around in a little van. We threw all our equipment.
I remember.
A lot of fun. I got to be honest with you. I wouldn't have changed anything. And it was in a good time too, where it was good weather and it was healthy and the fans were coming out and there was jonesing for rock and roll everywhere. Boston, Detroit, Philadelphia, New York, Los Angeles. Everybody wanted to see good rock and roll music, and those shows were all very well attended. And now here we are in 2020.
Yeah.
Wondering what the next move is going to be. And I'm telling you right now, I'm looking at everything like it's still moving forward. I'm making records, recording in my studio. I got a wonderful recording studio here on the south side of Chicago. If I could walk around, you could take a look at some of my stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, really absolutely.
Great. Oh, cool.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got my little recording studio in here and Pro Tools and all my gear.
Oh, Chip, you got nice racks of gear.
Yeah, it's good stuff in here. I got to be honest with you. I'm pretty lucky that I get a chance to make music right here in the studio every single day.
That's awesome, Chip, that you've got that. Chip, one quick thing that I wanted to mention, I was going to bring this up later, but since you brought up how you guys were in a van, and do you remember the time that you saw me on an interstate trying to get luggage out in the middle of Arizona?
I absolutely do. We're driving down the street, down the expressway, doing 70 miles an hour, and I look to the side of me, and I see you running down the expressway, the opposite side of which way the cars were going, chasing your luggage. I could not believe it. Like, wait, there's the Strowski chasing down some bags. And I said, turn around. I didn't know if we should turn around or not. And we called you, and then you guys said, no, we got it under control. We're cool. Yeah. Thank you very much. But yeah, it was pretty good. Very rock and roll, bro.
That was totally rock and roll. The back of the Escalade opened, and Ace's suitcases and my suitcases and Chris, the bodyguard's suitcases, all fell out into the road, and we ran out, and we picked them up, and then we got them back in. But we were all okay, and that was a great, funny story. I couldn't believe it.
I heard somebody told me a bird flew under your vehicle one day.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. There was a bird stuck in the grill. So we had the back door open twice, and a bird got stuck in the grill. So that was a crazy tour. We dropped off that car right after that.
I'll tell you, one of my favorite things on that tour was at the end of the year, we did something with in Dallas, Texas. Ace, of course, headline, but there was a bunch of bands on the bill as well.
Yeah.
And I remember one of the guys from Pantera, Vinny, coming out one of the last times I seen him. He came out to the show. He's a huge Ace Frehley fan. I didn't know Pantera. They hailed Kiss, you know.
Yeah.
I know Dime was a big fan, and so was Phil. Anyway, he came out to the show to see the band play, and he didn't even know Enough Stuff was on the bill. And Enough Stuff was old label mates of Pantera. We signed with Atco Records around the same time. So we all got along very well. We'd support each other and go see the shows. And you wouldn't think that a band like Pantera would even pay attention to Enough Stuff, but they were fans. We're all friends.
Yep.
I used to sit around all the time backstage with Phil and smoke pot. He loved smoking pot. I don't know how he smoked all that pot and was able to sing those songs, because that's certainly a challenge right there. But Vinny came out that night, and he came back and said hi to you and Ace and stuff. And then he strong-armed me and says, Chip, you got to come to my strip club.
Oh, that's great.
And I showed up there, and he wasn't there yet, and I couldn't get in. And I told the person at the front door with the maitre d', I said, yeah, my name's Chip. I'm with the band Enough's Enough. And I got a party of 9 of us here, and we all want to come in. And I'm old label mates with Vinny, and he suggested we stop by here. She says, well, he's got to wait until he calls me, and I'll let you guys in the meantime have a bite to eat. And there was a guy outside, and it's with this big pressure cooker making all kinds of, like, pork and beef and all kinds of chicken and stuff. It was incredible. So we ate tons. Then Vinny eventually showed up there, and he really took care of everybody. And he brought out about $2,000 in booze. Because I don't really drink, but he goes, Chip, what do you want? And I said, how about bringing some trim over to the table? So he brought over 3 beautiful girls, and we stayed there until 6 o'clock in the morning. Honest to God, just hanging out.
That is amazing.
Talking, talking the old stories about the band touring together, how they put together Pantera and all stuff that he did, and Enough's Enough, and Derek Showman, who was the guy who was responsible for discovering Pantera, along with this guy named Mark Ross. And we had just a wonderful time that night. And that was the last time I seen Vinny, you know. So
God, man, I know. It was
good. And I'm glad, and I wouldn't have seen him if it wasn't for Ace Frehley, because he came out to see Ace that night.
Yep, I remember the night. It was a great night. But
wow. Well, what a good way to end it with him. I mean, it sounds like an amazing night. But Chip, to circle back a little bit to the new record, Brainwashed Generation, you mentioned some heavy players. Mike Portnoy, what's he doing on the album?
Mike Portnoy is playing drums on the record, and I sent him a couple of tracks. He's actually my wife's cousin.
So he plays on a few songs?
I got him to play on one track on the record. I said, you pick which one you want to play on, and he picked one of the songs that's very, he calls it Beatlesque, and that guy's smart, let me tell you.
He's a
trick pony. He not only plays drums, he plays bass, plays guitar. He sings, he writes songs, he's an actor, he's a chef. The guy does everything. It's ridiculous. Right. And he said, he goes, well, seeing as that we're now family, you get the great rate, the family rate, which is free.
That's great.
Yeah, because normally it's going to cost $5,000-$10,000 to get a guy like him to even play on it, whether he plays on it or not, if you're lucky to get him. But he likes Enough's Enough. He loves Beatles. He's one of those kind of guys that don't get in a trivia
with him, wow.
Because you'll lose there, because the guy knows every Beatles song there is. He knows everything about Ringo. He knows about all the whole Beatles history. So he picked the song "It's All in Vain," which is I think it's a strong track. It's like the picture of the Beatles and ELO fighting in an alley, and Cheap Trick comes in and breaks it up. That's
wow.
That's all in vain, you know.
Speaking of songs, I was going to say, Chip, speaking of Cheap Trick, you got Dax Nielsen, Rick Nielsen's son, who was the drummer of Cheap Trick, on the record, too.
How lucky am I to do that, my friend? Dax Nielsen. Mm-hmm. I just call him on the phone. I said, Dax, my drummer's incapacitated right now, and I'd love to have you come down playing a couple of songs. He says, Chip, I'd be honored to. Send me the tracks. I sent him over the telephone, and then he drove out to Chicago. We recorded it over at Stonecutter Studio with a guy named Chris Diamonds. Chris is responsible for those early White Lion records. He worked with Alice Cooper. He's worked with Ozzy Osbourne. He did the Styx Last records. The guy's a killer producer, engineer. And we had Dax. I thought he was going to play on a song or two. He ended up playing on five songs.
Unbelievable. Wow, that's great. Wow,
and he excellent. Called the next day. You know, I call him. I said, bro, thanks so much. And he didn't want any chippy poos. He didn't care about any compensation at all. I thought, you know, this guy's worth a couple of grand for sure, minimum, to play on this stuff, if not more. And he says, oh, Chip, don't even worry about it. I love the band. I love the songs. I had a great time. He's a matter of fact, I wish I could have played on the whole record. That's exactly what he said to me.
Wow, that is awesome, Chip. And Chip, you're friends with those guys in Cheap Trick because you even have a couple of those 12-string basses from Tom Peterson.
Yeah, I certainly do. I'm a big influence, Tom. I love his bass playing. He's a real citizen. And we swapped some stuff. I sold him a couple of basses, too. I sold him a 58 and a 59 during the Animals of Human Intelligence record for $8,000, $4,000 a piece. Those basses are worth about $30,000 right now. Okay,
so wow.
He's a very good businessman because he bamboozled me and got a great deal on these two basses. And I think what he did was he sold them to Rick because Rick's got this killer book about all of his guitar collection. Rick Nielsen's guitar collection is amazing. And he's got both of them basses in his book as well. So I think Tom probably worked out a deal with Rick to sell those basses to him. But I also go back with Robin a long ways too. I'm friends with Robin and his lovely wife, Pam. And Robin sang on my solo record, Strange Time, which is on Cleopatra Records. He's singing on. He did All Day and All the Night with me. And wonderful vocals. Probably one of my favorite singers besides Donnie V. I put him right up there. Those cats just really got a great sense of balance and a wonderful timbre. As soon as they open their mouth, turn a tape recorder on because not a bad note comes out.
Wow.
Awesome.
And Chip, you did mention that Donnie V, obviously, I think he's one of the songwriters on Fatal Distraction, right? But does he do anything else on the record? Is he singing or backing or anything like that?
Yeah, I got Donnie on the one track, Strangers in My Head. Okay. I think it's a really strong song on the the Brainwashed Generation record. And it was nice for him to come back into the fold and help sing a song along with me. I think it's fantastic. His pipes are great. He's always been one of my favorite singers. And we wanted to bury the hatchet. We wanted to do something real nice for the fans. Cool. There was never a hatchet to bury, by the way, with me. I had no problem with anything. I don't sling mud. I live in a glass house. Right. But it was nice for me to call him up on the phone and say, hey, you know what? We should get together and do a song. Let's do something real nice for the fans. And it was his idea. He sent me a track that he had an idea with. And I go, bro, this is incredible. And he's a wonderful songwriter. Really is. And I said, you'll sing on it too? He goes, yeah, here. You do your parts and I'll do my thing. And then we'll make it a real nice collaboration. So Strangers in My Head is one of my favorite tracks on that new record, by the way.
Awesome.
Well, we can't wait to hear that. And when do you think we'll hear more of the album? Is there another single dropping at some point?
Yeah, there certainly is. I'm currently shooting a video because right now time restraints of people. It's hard to get everybody together right now. Chicago's on a lockdown right now. Tori lives out in Boston, so it's tough for him to get around and fly. Alex is in Los Angeles. Dan is in right outside of Chicago. He's in Chicago/Milwaukee. He's right on the cusp. So everybody's in different places right now. It's hard for us to convene. But what I'm doing is I'm shooting a video, and I'm using Paul McCartney's videographer, a guy named Dave Steckert. He's done not only McCartney, but he's done Jesse Malin and Lucinda Williams. Nice. And the guy's a wonderful videographer. And I'm working along with him and Kate Catalina to do this next video, and it'll be for the song Broken Love.
Awesome, Chip. Hey, Chip, I wanted to talk about something different that you're doing, and it's your Dash radio show. Tell everybody about that.
Fell into my lap. You believe that? So Dash Radio.
I believe it.
Dash Radio. It's a satellite company called Dash Radio. They're massive. There's 20 million subscribers to it. It's a free app. You download dashradio.com and you download the app and go right to my station, which is called The Monsters of Rock. Wonderful program, which features hard rock and heavy metal 24/7, 365 days of the year. You got Orianti's got her own show on there. I'm on there from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I know that there's a few other cast of characters around the Rich. Who's the bass player from Quiet Riot?
Chuck Wright. Rudy Sarzo.
Rudy Sarzo, right, yeah.
Can't forget that, my friend. He's got his own show he's on Sundays, and it's a great program, too. Rudy pulls out everybody from Jane's Addiction to Queen to come on his shows. My show is mostly just playing rock and roll and heavy metal and telling the great stories that I know that I've got a chance to witness through with my 30 years in this business. Orianti's got a terrific show as well. Across from us, we have Snoop Dogg. He's got his own show. Be Real from Cypress Hill does as well. And the great Kylie Jenner from the Kardashian clan. She sells all her makeup and lipstick and perfumes and all their little paraphernalia. And it's a juggernaut of people hanging out there. DJ Ski owns the place. And everybody just mostly does the shows in Los Angeles at their big spaceship companies, just like Sirius XM. The only difference is our program is free. There's no fee. And it's every single day, and you can't go wrong coming down there. It's really smoke-friendly over there. Everybody's smoking pot, having a great time. And they all love animals, too. I can't tell you how many times when I'm in Los Angeles and somebody brings a koala bear in there or a little baby tiger or something. It's like, you know, Tiger King over there. And everybody's real family-based, real nice people that just celebrate life and great rock and roll, heavy metal, hip-hop, rap. It's all there, all underneath one umbrella. And I recommend if you get a chance, check it out. So it's really a fun program.
We will absolutely check it out, Chip. And we will also post links to it on the Talking Metal website. And Chip, speaking of Dash Radio, I have another Dash I want to talk to you about. And I have a gift for you. I'm going to send it. So I don't know if you can see this, Chip, but it's called Dash Vodka. No relation to Dash Radio. But I'm promoting this amazing vodka that was sent to me by my cousins, Hank and Rennie Reeves, out of Texas. This is made in Texas. It's really great, extraordinarily smooth vodka. They also make brandy. You can check them out at dashvodka.com. And here's the deal. If you serve this or you have this at your house,
yeah,
this girl might come over. I'm kidding. This is the kind of people that drink Dash vodka. What's that?
He wears your boots well.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
very easy on the eyes.
Mark, I got a bottle for you, too. It's coming out. Okay, this is a Dash vodka. It's really good.
Yeah, I like it. Hey, you know, tell your cousins to say thank you very much. I love loudmouth soup every once in a while. I'm not a huge drinker, but you know what? I like the endorsing stuff. For you sending me a bottle over, I'll make sure I give it a nice plug on my station as well.
Thank you, Chip. That would be amazing. I appreciate it.
It only fits. I'm on Dash Radio.
Yeah, Dash vodka. Dash vodka.
Tell them to send me a couple bottles, please.
I will. It's coming right up.
You're welcome.
So, Chip, the tour is still happening, right? Straight out of quarantine, happening this fall. You guys in Faster Pussycat?
Yep, Mark. I just talked to Jamie a couple weeks ago and just to touch base and see how he was doing. He's doing just fine. He's been celebrating his third year of sobriety. You know, here's a guy that's done more cocaine and alcohol than Pablo Escobar and Cheech and Chong put together, okay? And Otis Campbell from Mary RFD, you put them all together. That was Tamey. He's just out of control. Listen, he's been out for a long time. They were the opening act for Guns N' Roses. And that guy's to still be going. He's a real rock star. And I talked to him. He says, Chip, we're on. He goes, I'll stay as long as the label puts us out there. So the tour starts September, early September, and it goes all the way through to November 2nd. So it's a nice long run. As I see right now, there's 42 dates on there. Maybe there'll be more coming up because I know once I get off this tour, I got to go right to Europe. I'm doing the Hard Rock Hell tour with Michael Monroe, Disneyland After Dark, and I think Faster Pussycat's on that one as well.
Wow.
So there's a lot of shows. Everybody's being real patient right now. I anticipate the tour starting, though, in early September. It's booked by this guy named Sullivan Big Entertainment, along with Artists Worldwide and Chuck Burnell. It's a nice little team right there. Alex Grassi from Quiet Riot. He's got Silver Tide. His company as well. So everybody's working in conjunction. This is going to be a great tour. Listen, why the big tours aren't out there, the Motley Crue tour with Def Leppard, Poison, or what about the Rod Stewart tour with Cheap Trick? All of them are pushed back for the right now. Everybody's going, well, you know, maybe it's in our best interest to wait until 2021. And until the powers that be say it's okay to go back out there, everybody's canceled. Iron Maiden just canceled their tour as well. I really believe that we're going to come out at a good time. We're playing small venues. I don't see a problem happening with that. I think the fans are jonesing beyond belief. They want to see a rock show.
We are. You get
a couple of strong bands together, like Enough's Enough and Faster Pussycat, who both had numerous hits on MTV, played all around the country. You got original members from both bands playing out there. I think it's going to be jam-packed, sold out every single night. And the guy at Live Nation, I was talking to my buddy Andy, he says, Chip, you might slip through the cracks in this one and might be one of the more successful tours of 2020 because there's not a lot of competition out there.
Right. Oh, I believe me, both bands I love, Enough's Enough and Faster Pussycat, that's going to be an amazing tour. And Chip, real quick, I wanted to mention that right after we did the last show together in Detroit with Like It, Ace Frehley, and Enough's Enough, you did from January all through the beginning of March, you toured nonstop. You did like 40, 50 shows, right?
I got real lucky, John. I got to tell you, we started at the end of December. Right after I played with you, we went out for a little run. We did like about a little under 8 dates, and then it led right into January. And I was out all of January, all of February with the Monsters of Rock cruise as well, which was incredible, playing with Crocus and who else was on there? Tesla was on that. It was great. Disneyland After Dark, Extreme. Those were so many great bands that were on that. Tokyo Motor Fest. Really had a lot of fun hanging out with all my buddies on that trip. And then right after we got back from the Monsters of Rock cruise, we went right to Europe. And we were up in Australia and with Kip Winger, as a matter of fact, and a couple other bands on there. Wow. If I'm not mistaken, that you guys would know, FM was on that as well. And that was a really powerful tour to go play Australia. And then right at the end of the Australian run is when everything started happening, where we were going, hey, there's this virus going around. We're going to start closing up the borders. So I left on a Wednesday. I got home on a Wednesday. On Thursday, the president came on TV and said, we're shutting down the borders tomorrow. I got lucky. Wow. I got home just one day, in time, man. That too.
Chip, that is unbelievable. I mean, to do all those shows in a row. Now, I've been on tours, but I haven't ever done that. I do like a week or two and I'm wiped out forever. The fact that you guys did 3 straight months, it's amazing, Chip. You guys are in great shape.
No, we were lucky just to be able to have a chance to go out and play those shows where everybody else was just getting ready. They're just gearing up for the 2020 new year. Here we are. We already got 43 shows or whatever under our belts. And then to be told that when you get back home to the States, we have to cancel. We had 45 more dates in the books.
Wow.
So
wow.
Enough's Enough just decided that maybe we'll just go in there and finish up the record for Frontiers and then get ready for the fall. And that's what we're doing. And so far, the timing has worked out well.
Right.
And listen, while we're talking about that, guys, I want to give a shout out, if I could, please, to all our first responders, the military, our nurses, our doctors, the police.
Absolutely.
All the people out there has been keeping this country together. You know, God bless them all. And the prayer is very important at this time because sometimes it's all we have.
Right on. Chip, you've got such a great attitude in this, and you're using the time wisely, and some people are being negative, but you're 100% positive all the time.
I always have been, and that's the way it's going to be. Listen, there's things I see out there that don't make me happy. All of us do. I'm not a political guy. I want to see the country turn itself back around again and get back on the horsey and start riding down the trail. And
yep.
People are jonesing to get back to their jobs. There's hard work of mothers and fathers. They want to put their kids through school and get their educations. A lot of more important stuff than rock and roll out there. But if I can help in any single way and play and give you an hour or two of getting away from all the mucky muck that's in your life and to be happy and celebrate life, yeah, I'm here for that, my friend. And I love playing music, too. If it wasn't for the fans, I wouldn't be talking to you guys right now. Okay. I'm grateful to have the job that I have. And I pray that we all get a chance to get back together again and celebrate life.
Yeah, that's a good way to maybe kind of wrap things up here, Chip, because you are, A, giving us this new record, which we are totally psyched about, and it's something for us to look forward to, and a potential tour happening this fall. So what a celebration that is going to be, the coming out of straight out of quarantine, the perfect name for the tour. I personally can't wait. And I've been going back, just going through the Enough's Enough catalog. There's so much great stuff there that I'm just rediscovering. And even Diamond Boy, I was listening to that the other day and just got hooked on the Fire and Ice song. So good. So many great tunes off that 2018 album, Diamond Boy. Guys, if you don't know that record, definitely check it out. I want to play a track off of that, John, to take us out on the podcast version of this.
Nice. But,
any last thoughts for Chip, John?
Well, Chip, Chip, thank you for showing us a personal look of your studio. That is an awesome studio. I love it. And Chip, we'll let you go in a second, but I just got to say, I heard you talking about some stuff back in the 90s when you guys were in New York doing Animals with Human Intelligence. You guys did Letterman, Howard Stern. You used to hang out at the Scrap Bar and the Limelight. And those were some of the most fun times I've ever had. And I appreciate that I've known you since way back then.
Thanks, John. I appreciate that. So right back at you, man. You've been a great guy to us. I love working with you when you're over at the Fuse. Great place. And here you are now working with Ace Frehley. He loves you dearly, too. It's so funny watching you guys to work together. It's just a real family-esque team right there. He's a wonderful cat to work. I love Ace Frehley. I love the Spaceman. I go back with him for almost 30 years and still be friends. That says a lot for about a relationship.
He loves you, too. And I love you. And Ace loves you. And Mark loves you.
Maybe absolutely. Next year we can do something together, you know, all of us, and we can go out and do another Ace Frehley, a Like It, Enough's Enough run together. Maybe we talk to Kevin, the agent, because he's really good.
Yes, we're going to talk to Kevin, and that would be an unbelievable tour. Like It, Enough's Enough, Ace Frehley, you can't go wrong. Three bands that all love each other, and we fit perfectly on a tour together.
Yeah, Mark, God bless you and your lovely wife as well.
Well, thanks, Chip. And yeah, it's right back at you and Kate. And I know Emily loves seeing Kate on Instagram and Twitter. And it's always great hanging with you guys. And we definitely will do it soon.
Hey, check out the stuff that's coming out on Frontiers Records, by the way. A lot of great music coming out on that label, as well as other labels that are putting out music. Bands are getting ready and are gearing up. And the newer bands are, you know, Gross is in the studio right now. Greta Van Fleet. You got the guys in Vintage Trouble, Mammoth, the newer bands, Rival Sons, along with the older bands out there. I know Whitesnake and, of course, Enough's Enough and Sebastian Bach. All the bands are putting music out there. And Extreme's got their new record coming out soon, Cheap Trick's in the studio. There's a lot of great music out there for all the fans out there to go out and support their favorite groups and keep everything moving forward.
Absolutely. And you can pre-order the new Enough's Enough album right now. We're going to have links up in the show notes on talkingmetal.com. And let's do this.
Chip, thank you so much, Chip. We hope you have a great night and we will see you very, very soon.
See you on tour, guys. Be safe out there. Stay sequestered in your crib. We're going to get through these unprecedented times very soon and we'll get back out there playing shows again. Okay? Stay safe, guys.
Thank you so much, Chip. Thank you, brother. Chip. Thanks so much.
Cool. There you have it, guys. Chip's Enough of the great band Enough's Enough. And you mentioned Scrap Bar there, John. And I don't know if you know, but today, May 8th, is the official Motorhead Day. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. So I want to talk about our Motorhead experience at the Scrap Bar way back in the 90s. We'll do that.
Hang on one second.
We still got
doing Chip's a little technical on. Stuff. Yeah, Chip is still on. Yeah, I will. Wait, Mark. Hey, guys, guess what? I accidentally knocked Mark off. I'm going to call him back. You are seeing some crazy stuff happening, and stand by. We got Chip with his Monsters of Rock stuff on. And I meant to
we're back. We got three viewers. We went from
all right.
We are back. I kicked off my own show.
Yeah, I can't even see myself, but I hope I'm not.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's like a minute behind. But
okay, are we on? Am I on?
Yeah, we are definitely on. I can see it on Facebook and heard it.
Okay, good. Okay, now I can see it.
We lost all 57 viewers. We're down.
Sorry about that. That was my fault.
Three people. No, but the great thing is this, that we had a great interview with Chip Sinuff. And, yes. And for the people who listen to this on the podcast version and on YouTube, it's going to be almost seamless. We'll have a little edit there. And
yeah, it'll look fine.
We'll patch it all together. But we were talking before we got disconnected there, that today, the day we are recording this, May 8th, is Motorhead Day. So I figured for our Brush with Greatness story today, I wanted to tell the story and bring you into it, because it was a crazy time that you were involved with, the time that we met Lemmy. And we can both share our memories of this meeting. Now,
yes,
we ended up at a place called, I don't know what or how, what we were doing beforehand or why we decided to go there. By the way, I'm drinking, this is my favorite beer. It's the Brooklyn beer, Resin.
Oh, it's Resin. Resin. Sounds like something you use in fixing guitars.
Or resin, yeah. It isn't resin too, is like the stuff that would be at the bottom of like...
In like a marijuana thing, right. But, is there resin in that beer?
No, I'm sure it's a, you know, it's a 6 Point brewery out of Brooklyn, New York.
Okay.
Great stuff. Anyways.
Once again, I got to say, let's have a Talking Metal toast.
Yeah, Talking Metal toast. Here's my beer. I'll give you a Chips Enough.
Yeah, the face thing. I'll do it too. Okay.
Yeah, it looks worse.
Dash anyway. Vodka, guys. Everybody.
Yeah, Dash Vodka. John's cousin is involved with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great stuff.
Everybody go to dashvodka.com. It's extraordinarily distilled. The vodka is distilled 7 times. The brandy's distilled 3 times. And there's a master distiller down in Berkshire, Texas. And it's really awesome stuff. Mark, you're going to get a bottle. Chip is going to get a few bottles. And we're gonna rock this.
Right, absolutely. So let's do this Motorhead story. So it was right around the time. So I don't know if you remember, but there was this big scandal with Black Sabbath. Black Sabbath was had Dio back in the band in like sometime in the 90s. I don't even know when it was. It must have been mid-90s, right, John? Does that sound right? Mid-90s? Mm-hmm. Dio was back in Black Sabbath for the Dehumanizer tour.
Yes.
And so at the end of that tour, Dio, and this is all leading into the Motorhead story, Dio gets pissed because Iommi and Geezer, and I guess Vinny Appice, invite Ozzy to come do a short set with them for the final concert of the Dehumanizer tour. So they were going to do the set with Dio, and then Ozzy was going to come up and do 4 songs with them. So
wow,
Ronnie
freaks
out. Ronnie does not like this and says he's not doing it. And there was always tension between Ozzy and Dio. And I know, you know, Dio's gone now, and sometimes history tends to get changed. But guys, there was always tension between Ozzy and Dio. There was. And that I could talk miles for hours about that. But anyways, to set up this Lemmy story, that's what happened. So they jam with Ozzy. Dio bolts on the last show. They get Halford to do the show with
them. I remember that. I remember when Halford did the show, right.
Yeah, so they do their set of Black Sabbath stuff with Halford, probably Dio era mixed with, you know, a couple Ozzy era songs. Then Ozzy comes out for like 4 songs or something, and that's that. And suddenly it's announced that Black Sabbath is getting back together with Ozzy. This is the mid-90s. Then it falls apart. And magically, Tony Martin ends up back in Sabbath, and it continues on for a number of years as basically the Tony Iommi solo project.
Right. And I heard that, correct me if I'm wrong, but that when some of the stuff Tony was doing, he intended it to be a solo album, but the label made him call it Black Sabbath. Is that true?
That was one of the earlier records.
Oh, that was even before that. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's right after Ian Gillan left Sabbath. But anyways, that's all kind of beside the point. But so we go into the scrap bar shortly after that moment where, you know, Sabbath was going to get back together with Ozzy. They do this little tease where Ozzy joins them for four songs. And then it's announced that Sabbath is not getting back together with Ozzy, or Geezer for that matter. So John and I, sometime after that, are in the scrap bar and we're hanging out. Do you remember, like, what were we there all night? Had we been out previous? Do you remember any of the details?
You know what? If this is the Lemmy story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what preceded that. I all I remember is from the scrap bar on.
And was it just us two, or was there somebody else with us?
I don't remember anybody but us. But there might have been other people. Maybe Rob Fiorentino was there, maybe?
I don't think so. But I seem to remember we were talking with somebody we knew there or something. But anyways, we're hanging, and then all of a sudden, you're like, there's Lemmy. And we look at the end of the bar, Scrap Bar, New York City, which it was more in the Central Village area. It wasn't like the hip East Village area.
Right.
And there's Lemmy. You missed Chips Enough. He was talking about you, by the way. And there's Lemmy at the end of the bar, and he is drinking, and we approach him, right?
And yep, yeah, absolutely.
Now, does he get up first to play pinball, or do we invite him to play pinball?
That I don't remember. My first memory, see, Mark, you're even better than me.
I seem to remember more about this than you do, John.
Well, I remember pinball and then what happened afterwards. So
we ask him to play pinball, I believe, or maybe he asked us. I think this is how I remember it. We ask him if we can buy him a shot.
Drinks. Okay. Yeah.
Right. And he says yes.
Oh, I do remember one thing, and I'll tell you after you say your story.
And I believe we buy him a shot of what else? Jack. And then he suggests we play pinball. That's what I remember. He suggests that. So, and again, this is, you know, pre-selfies. This is mid-90s. So we get up, and then, and no one ever believes this when I say it, but I swear to you it is true. He says, let's do tequila. Let's do some more shots. And I say, more Jack? And he says, tequila. And people have said, no, Lemmy doesn't drink tequila. He drinks Jack. He only drank Jack Daniels. But I...
No. I believe...
The way I remember it is he did a shot of Jack with us, and then he did at least a shot or two of tequila with us. That's how I remember.
Which makes a lot of sense, because what happened later, tequila explains it.
Yeah. So at that point, we play pinball with him, and we're, you know, small talk. And I remember, I'm nervous. I'm like, you know, this is Lemmy, and I'm.
And this is not like there's like, let's just set the stage. Picture a bar that's, you know, kind of like a local bar, large.
It was like you walk down some steps. This isn't like the Rainbow, where it's this big place. This is a tiny hole in the wall bar that you know. Just a little sliver of a, you know, if you've ever been to New York and you've been to any,
it's
like
a sliver, it's little like, bar. Like this.
Yeah. It's tiny.
Right.
I mean, the pinball barely fit in the back there by the back.
Right. So like literally if I remember correctly, where the pinball was, the machine took up half of the space, and then like, you know, you can barely walk around it. That's how small it was. So it's just me, Mark, and Lemmy playing pinball.
Yeah. So I, at some point, knowing that Lemmy has written songs with Ozzy, his friends with Ozzy, quite tight with Ozzy, I say, we're up to 24. So we've got,
I love it. Good. We brought some people back.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So I say to, Lemmy, knowing that he's, you know, Ozzy is a close friend of his and somebody he works with, I say, man, I said, I know you're friends with Ozzy. I said, have you spoken with Ozzy about why the Black Sabbath reunion fell apart? And again, this is, guys, a few years before when they actually did get back together. He didn't want to do it. I was like, oh, I said, well, that's a shame. I said, I really wanted to see Ozzy with Black Sabbath. I've never been to a Black Sabbath concert with Ozzy. And I'm like, 24 years old at this point. And he turns to me, and I always remember this. He says, why the fuck not, man? And I'm like, because I just never got to see them. He was like, and he pointed to me. He was like, Ozzy was in that band for 12 years from 1968 to 1979. You had 12 years to see them or 11. And he said, you didn't see him. And he's like, it's your fault. It's my fault. That's what he said.
You were like a baby.
I almost said I was 9 when Ozzy left Black Sabbath in 79. I almost said that, but being the, I didn't want to upset Lemmy at all, because he already seemed upset that I hadn't
said that. Yeah, God forbid.
I was born in 1969. So it's like, he was already upset that I didn't see Black Sabbath when I had the opportunity to. I think that's
right. Right.
When you were eight to nine. Right. I mean, I looked older than I was at the time, but I
don't think so. I think you looked nice and young. But
he seemed visibly upset that I was questioning Ozzy, and when I think about it now, like I was questioning Ozzy's judgment that he didn't want to get back together with Sabbath, right? Because there were all these fans like me who wanted to see it. But right, now that I think about it, it speaks volumes of how good Lemmy was. Because who am I? I'm some freaking punk kid buying him shots and playing pinball with him, probably acting like a goofball fan. And he stuck up for his friend. He stuck up for his friend, Ozzy Osbourne, and basically said, Ozzy didn't want to do it, and that's that. You had a chance to see him in Sabbath. People had a chance to see him in Sabbath. Now he's doing what he does, So I was always a little upset that I felt like I picked him off. But when I think about it, I was like, how cool is that? That he defended his friend, Ozzy, because I think the way I question it was like, why wouldn't Ozzy want to do this?
Right.
And so he stuck up for his friend, which is what you do for a friend, even if they are wrong. And I'm not saying Ozzy was in the wrong for not originally doing that Sabbath reunion. But I found that interesting. Yeah. And so
that is amazing.
The night goes on from there.
Night goes on, and then I'll take it over. But here's one thing. Lemmy did a little pushback with me too, friendly in a really cool way. And he said, when I said, and remember, guys, we had probably had a few drinks before that. This was in the 90s.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Then we had like X amount of shots.
Now we're so much more controlled.
Yeah, we're a lot. We're like,
this is back in the 90s.
Yeah, this is back in the 90s.
We can handle our liquor.
Yeah. So what happens is, I say to Lemmy, you know what? This is one of those things where you go, like, when you're with your friend and, like, me and you could be, like, let's say we get real drunk one day and I go, Mark, you're just the greatest friend in the world, that kind of a thing. So I go, Lemmy, here's the deal. You made it possible for Metallica and all these other bands to do what they're doing. And he said, you know what? He didn't take credit for it. He said, no. He goes, those bands did their own thing, specifically Metallica. And I wasn't cutting on Metallica. I was just saying how, I was blown away to be with the guy that influenced all these great bands like Metallica. And Lemmy said, no, I'm just like a guy in a band. Those dudes in Metallica and all these other groups you're mentioning are great on their own. And that was another cool thing that he said. That's one weird thing that I do remember from that night, other than what I'm about to say. Should I tell the story?
Yeah, it's up to you, man. I feel like it makes me look a little bad, but it makes maybe you look worse. But yeah, it's up to you.
Well, I don't even know that part of it. Like, there might even be more.
I feel like I was a bad friend that night, but
you left me, right? Okay, you left me. So What happened was, I remember playing pinball with Lemmy and Mark.
What are you drinking there?
I'm drinking, Mark. Look at this. Now, see, I'm promoting Dash Vodka, and look at this, guys. So I
got
to get
it. You got olives in there?
I got three olives in here.
Shoot, we couldn't
get olives. And it's got a gold rim on the top. I had to send away for these olives because of COVID. You can't get them in Jersey City. So I got special olives.
You can't get them in New Jersey. I'm kidding.
These are Dallalo olives, a good Italian brand, half Italian. Gold rim, Dash Vodka, made out of Berkshire, Texas. And guess what? Chip Zanuff is going to talk about it on Dash Radio. And we got to get people drinking Dash Vodka because this stuff is very smooth. It's what they say, extraordinarily smooth. And there is a master distiller. His name is, he's a great dude. He is making this out of Texas. And believe it or not, one of the cool things, it's made with wheat and other things, but like raisins play a part in the complexity of this vodka. Can you believe that? How cool is that? I didn't know raisins were in vodka, but it's distilled 7 times, and you really need to go to dashvodka.com because it's good. It's great. You know, some alcohol, you try to drink it, it tastes like, poison. This, you can just pour it right in here. And
well, speaking of poison.
It's good.
So that night.
Oh, yeah. So that night, I was poisoned by that tequila. Yeah. And so we made it near my apartment. And I lived on 32nd Street between 5th Avenue and Madison Avenue in Manhattan. It's kind of an odd area to live.
Right.
And 5th Avenue. It's
And I lived in Hoboken at the time.
Right. Yeah. Which I love your area in Hoboken, Willow Street. So what happened was, guys, this is like 2 blocks from the Empire State Building. And
it was Madison Avenue, right?
Yeah, I was on Madison Avenue, Empire State. There's Madison and then 5th, right? Right, 5th.
Yeah,
between 5th and Madison. So I'm on Madison, and I think somehow we wandered over into Park Avenue. So I lived.
Oh, okay, right, Madison. Right. Yeah, so it's Park, Madison, 5th, right?
Correct. So it's 5th.
Yeah, because we were on Park. I think it was Park Avenue, actually, yeah.
I know it was Park, for sure. Park is a two-way avenue in Manhattan.
So we had taken, this is what happened. We took a cab uptown. All right, you're leaving this part out. We had been at the scrap bar. Maybe we went somewhere else afterward. It is 4 in the morning. You know, we take a cab uptown, and this is the way I remember it. We're on Park Avenue. This is because my memory is getting jolted here. And you open the door to the cab.
Oh, no.
Not even near your house. We open the door to the cab, and you go running out. And I remember seeing the cabbie, and you were like, you had run out of the cab, and you were like running down the street.
See, and I like to do exotic, you know, I hate to say it, but I might be like the new, you know, kind of, well, actually old because I was first, but like, you know, how about this? John Exotic. I'm changing my name from John Astronomy to John. No, I'm joking. Yeah. I'm just kidding. No, but I like to do crazy stuff back in the day, not now.
Right. Right.
So go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going.
So, and that's kind of what I remember. Then I remember you were getting angry and.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I didn't remember that part.
And then eventually I was trying to get you home, but you didn't want to go home. And I eventually, I'm sorry, I still feel guilty about this, but I had work the next day and I left. And I hadn't gotten you home and you were out of your mind.
Well, here's the thing, guys. I don't advocate doing stuff like that, but I did tell this story once on VH1 to Dave Grohl.
Right.
You don't have to say who he's from because Dave Grohl is Dave Grohl. And it was during VH1 Rock Honors, and it was a Foo Fighters interview. And here's what happened with that. Matt Pinfield, who I love, interviewed them first. And a lot of the great questions that I had in my notebook Matt had already asked them. So right. I didn't have really anything else to talk to the Foo Fighters about. So I brought up Lemmy, and then this story popped out, and it was the first time my parents heard this. So I was like, oh God. But what happened was, cause you know, I want to be considered a great kid and all that. So what happened, and I still consider myself a kid at my age. So,
well, yeah, you're a kid. I'm looking for a picture of Park Avenue, by the way. You're a kid okay, to your good. Parents, for sure.
Correct.
Yeah, here we
correct.
Go.
Okay, Mark's going to show a picture of Park Avenue.
So if you look here, you can see this little strip that Park Avenue has this little strip between the southbound traffic and the northbound traffic. And you had sat down in the strip. When I left you at like 4:30 in the morning to go home to get like an hour of sleep before I had to get up and go to work. And then the story that you told me afterwards, and I think you may have told Dave Grohl, and we can edit this out if you know.
Yeah, it's fine. Keep going.
Was that you woke up on that, that little strip between the northbound and southbound traffic on Park Avenue. And it was like 7:30 in the morning and people were like walking to work.
I woke up and I remember briefcases. Like that was the time, I guess, people carried briefcases. I used to carry a briefcase. And businessmen were going to work and women. But they didn't think anything of it that I was laying there. And at the time, I had long blonde hair. I looked like I was... possibly it could have been like in Slaughter or White Lion bands I love. And I'm just laying there dressed up probably in some flashy shirt and cowboy boots and, you know, with the boot out, you know, the pants went in the boot. And that's how I dressed back in the day. And I woke up like that in the middle of Park Avenue on the, I used to call it a medial strip. It might be called a median. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But that little strip in between the traffic going both ways. And, you know, it took me a minute to, like, figure out where I was. And then I was like, oh, God, I'm waking up in Park Avenue. So then I ended up.
You were mad at me. I remember you were like, you left
I'm
me.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, I I'm sorry I left you there. I should have, like, dragged you home or something. But I do remember you were, like, getting very angry, you know, and I was just like, all right, I'm so tired and drunk, I need to go home. So, but well, yeah, I feel guilty.
It was a funny story.
Thank God everything ended up all right.
Yeah, everything's fine. Here's the funny thing. Lemmy, as Dave Grohl said, this is what Lemmy could do to somebody, and it's not your fault, and everybody's okay, and we all lived happily ever after, and we learned from that. And of course, everybody has crazy childhood stories and stuff.
Right.
Like
so the Dave Grohl thing. So John, then many years later, is probably like 10 years later, right? John, you're out at Rock Honors.
Yeah.
This is Talking Metal is doing stuff on VH1, and we're doing Talking Metal on VH1, and you talk to Dave Grohl, and you who had just recorded a song for Probot. His metal project with Lemmy, I think it was called Shake Your Blood, if I remember.
Yep, Shake Your Blood, great tune.
And you mentioned that to him, and Dave says something about Lemmy, and then you're like, well, I have a Lemmy story. And you did a short version of that long story that we just told. And then you end the story, you're saying, and I woke up in the middle of Park Avenue the next morning. And Dave Grohl looks at you like deadpan and goes, these are the types of things that happen when you hang out with Lemmy.
Exactly.
And I will say this, in Scott Ian's book, which I should have here somewhere, that our good friend, a really good friend of mine, he lives out here now, John Wiederhorn, co-wrote.
Oh, I love John Wiederhorn. He's great.
Scott has a very similar story about Lemmy. Yeah, in I believe it's in London. He went over there with, I want to say, with Joey to do press for one of the albums, or you know, I don't think it was Among the Living. It was like, I think it was earlier than that. But anyways, he was over there with another Anthrax guy, and somebody told him, you want to meet Lemmy? And he went and he met Lemmy, and he started drinking Jack with Lemmy. And he, at that point, was not a drinker and definitely didn't drink hard liquor. And so he, but he didn't want to let Lemmy down. So he's drinking like a pint of Jack Daniels, you know, and that he got so sick afterwards that he was like out of his mind. He was completely sick. He doesn't remember. So there's a very similar. So you're not alone.
Okay. Scott, I'm glad that this happened to not only me. It's like the Lemmy 2 movement. Scotty and me, we're going to start a new thing. It's called the Lemmy 2 movement. And this is when you do crazy things after you've been out with Lemmy. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was fun. And no, I mean, it was great. And Dave Grohl, thank you so much for being so cool to me and let me tell that story to you.
And, Gabriel, I think that's Bert Gabriel saying Dave Grohl is such a legend. We have Homero is saying hi from Santa Fe, Argentina. How are you, man? Wow, we got a
hello. We got great people.
Mexico City. Astronomy's smile is the light that guides my path. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, getting some kind of Ian McCurdy is watching. Hey, Ian, what's up?
Ian McCurdy.
Yeah, so people checking in, guys. Thank you.
I love it. And guys, the reason I'm not responding is that the way I'm set up, I can't see the post. Eventually, we're going to get it to the point where I can read them. But right now, we're still in my favorite word, our infancy. Infancy of this.
Well, I'm just reading them off my phone. Sherry says, hello from the Outer Banks. Do you know Sherry? One of your friends?
From the Outer Banks?
Yeah. Outer Banks? What is that, Michigan? What is that, Outer Banks?
I'm not sure.
I should know that. I mean, I know
Sherry. Sherry, hey. Sherry.
Outer Banks. Where's Outer Banks? Is that, what is that, North Carolina or something? I don't know.
I think it is. But yeah, I gotta take a look. I know various Sherry, so I have to see which one it is.
Outer Banks. Where is Outer Banks? I'm just curious.
I think that is like North Carolina or something like that. South
Outer
Carolina.
Outer Banks. I just said Outer Banks. Yeah.
Sherry, whichever Sherry this is, thank you so much for being so cool and being my friend and checking in with us.
Outer Banks. Is that like Myrtle Beach area?
I think so.
Is, right? Yeah. I don't know.
Thank you, Sherry. Anyway,
guys, thank you for joining us. And we are hanging here on Talking Metal for, what, at least another few minutes. We gotta pick a guitar. Why don't you talk to me about one of these?
Okay. And I want to talk to you about a guitar, too. So guess what? I'm not going to leave you off the hook. I'm going to talk about a guitar, and then you're going to talk about a guitar.
Okay. I don't know how much to say, but yeah.
I know, but there's a...
Guitars don't have quite the stories that yours do.
There's a nice Charvel back there that I see.
Although I do have a Gibson Les Paul somewhere around here that was used on Chinese Democracy.
Yes, that is amazing. Absolutely. About that.
Bumblefoot played it on Chinese Democracy.
Absolutely. So,
as well,
guys,
you played one of your guitars, I think, too. On
Chinese. Correct. You know what? Since you said that, I'm going to bring this one out. I'll bring that one up. So when Guns N' Roses were making Chinese Democracy, see, some people think this is a Zoom background, like a fake picture. Negative. Look, this is what I look like with my hat off. Anyway, this guitar is my favorite guitar in the whole world. Uh-oh, I got a text. Let's see. It's probably somebody yelling at me saying, like, shut up. Hang on. Let me just make sure of that. So we're really getting...
Are you upset?
Oh! Sherry, this is... I know who this is now. Oh, hold on once. I'm going to text back.
From the Sherry from the Outer Banks?
Yes, just texted me.
Well, she's got your number and everything.
This is so Sherry and Michelle, my favorite people. I love you guys. I hope that you're seeing this. Sherry and Michelle, I love you. Keep watching.
Yeah, they're watching. Yeah, keep watching.
I love these guys. They're great. We ran into each other at a hotel a long time ago, and there's so many amazing stories that have transpired since us meeting at that hotel bar a long, long time ago. So cool. Sherry and Michelle, thank you so much. I want to hang out soon. Sherry, you got to come back to New York. Michelle always is back in New York, but you're not back in New York. So you got to come back and we got to all hang out again. Okay, guys. So anyway,
this
is a Gibson Les Paul Custom. This is my favorite guitar of all time. And so this was one of the two guitars that we gave to Bumblefoot to use on Chinese Democracy because they wanted Les Pauls. Right, Mark?
That's true. He borrowed that one from you, and he borrowed my Les Paul, my only Les Paul, Desert Burst. Yeah, I'm reading the questions. People are asking all sorts of questions. So I'm
okay. I like it. Let's read it. I'm going to get my phone too.
Somebody's saying, "Is John, is Gibson and Ace releasing a new guitar?"
Yes. Okay, good. So here's the thing. I got to put my glasses on. I feel like I look a little out of it without them, but I'm not. It's just the lighting here. Okay.
Yeah, I like the glasses because I feel like the glasses that I have, they help hide these dark circles that I've developed.
Mark, you're perfect, man. You look super young. Oh, well, thank you. Good.
Yeah, I don't know.
I got to have special lighting to make myself look as good as I might slightly look. Anyway, this is I forgot where we are, but this is a 1987 Gibson Les Paul Custom. I worked for Gibson for 10 years, and I'm not 100% sure what they referred to this finish as in 1987. I would call it a tobacco sunburst.
Yeah,
tobacco sunburst. Now they sort of call it a vintage sunburst. Then, Mark, your guitar is called a Desert Burst, which that's when they got a little more advanced with the finishes. And
yeah,
Desert Burst is a beautiful finish. You got probably a flame top on that too, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it's officially a flame top, but I say it's a flame top, yeah.
Yeah, and so this is my favorite guitar. Now, check out the back of it. It's not a burst. So, like, the 70s bursts had the burst on the back. This is a mahogany back with mahogany sides. And they used to have a thing called a pancake body. This is not that. This has what's called a maple cap. And here's what's weird about this one. This is a three-piece top. So I think in this angle, you can see right here, there's a line.
Oh, right.
That's one piece, two pieces, and three pieces. Now, the Ace Frehley Budokan model is a three-piece top. And so those were a three-piece top is a notable thing. Now, most guitars are two-piece tops, if not a one-piece top, but most of them, like Gibson Les Pauls, are probably a two-piece top. But this is a three-piece top, Gibson Les Paul Custom, my favorite guitar. My mom and dad bought me this for my high school. My high school graduation present. Some people get a car. I wanted a guitar. I wanted a very rare Gibson Firebird 1976 model that they bought me, new old stock. This guitar was my college graduation present. So, and right now these things, I mean, look up Les Paul Custom on the internet.
So it was a college. So you graduated college. It's in 87, but that you graduated college much later than that. So
1991.
Used or was
no? That's the weird thing. In the store in my hometown, there's not a lot of heavy-duty guitar buyers in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, or Windermere, Pennsylvania. So this great store called Music Haven and Galleries in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, also known as Richland, Pennsylvania, sometimes has guitars that I would call new old stock. So that 1976 Gibson Firebird that my parents bought me for my graduation present for high school, which I graduated in 87, they bought that new, but it was a 76. So that guitar had sat in the store from 76 until 87. And then this guitar sat in the store from 87 until 91. Wow. Guess what? Sadly, most of those great guitars are gone because people started to get wind of this store having such amazing new old stock.
And that doesn't happen today with the internet because,
any store
anywhere in the country, it'll be spotted and it's online. And if the store isn't putting it online, the collectors are, it's like,
correct.
It just doesn't exist. I mean, Guitar Center, you can go in and search any, the inventory there, and it'll tell you what store it's in. You can have it shipped across the country. So that type of stuff doesn't exist anymore,
I know. Now you can't – even Ace used to love going to pawn shops and finding old stuff.
I actually have a treasures out there today.
Yeah. You can – event maybe one in a million you'll find a treasure, but not that much anymore. And I actually have – I saved the receipt. Ace gave me a Squire Strat. Copy or Squire Strat. It's not a copy. It's like the same thing. And what's Double Bubble, Mark? What is it? What is that cool stuff you just had?
It's just bubble gum, Double Bubble. I'm going to have a piece of bubble
gum. Oh, good, good. I thought it was looked like, I thought it was popcorn, but I
popcorn would be nice. I do have some popcorn in the other.
You know what? I'm into all that stuff. I've got a popcorn machine. But anyway, let me say this. Thank you to my mom and dad for buying me this amazing guitar for my college graduation present, college graduation from Berklee College of Music, Boston, Mass. And to me, I have all these other guitars. And I mean, I have guitars from Ace. I have guitars, a lot of guitars. I have super guitars I use with Like It. I have that Super Sparkle custom shop guitar. But, and I love all of them. However, this guitar has always been my favorite, and I've always wanted this guitar since I first started wanting to get guitars. And so this is, if there was a fire in this building and I had to run out with one guitar, this would be it. Mark, I can't hear you.
That's your desert island guitar, I was saying.
Correct, yeah, this is.
Because my kids are, it's slowly starting to quiet down upstairs, but it's just
okay. Yeah. Hey, Mark, I want to ask you about that Charvel in the background. I mean, one of my favorite brands.
There's really no stories behind this, but
I'm going to put this back.
A little story. This is a Charvel.
Stand by while I put this in the stand. Okay, tell us about the Charvel. Now, Mark, is that a telling body? Let me see it. I don't even see what it looks like. Okay, Mark. Okay, great. So we're gonna start off this. I'm gonna analyze the guitar real quick, and then you tell me if I'm right. Okay, this is a Telecaster body on a Charvel guitar with a maple neck. It's got a Floyd Rose style trim, bolt on Charvel neck, and some. Two humbuckers and one volume knob, pickup selector. And what's that little thing on the tremolo? I don't know what that little extension piece is.
It's like a detuner. It's the Eddie Van Halen.
That's totally cool. So, I never had a guitar with a trem like that.
Yeah, it's a little temperamental, but it's cool when it works right. So that's a Charvel.
You got that at Sweetwater, right?
Tell us
about that.
Yeah, I bought it at Sweetwater Sound in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I paid for half of it. My mother-in-law paid for the other half of it as a Christmas gift, I believe, for me. I had it worked on by Adam from FU Tone. What's his last name again?
River.
And he works on Eddie Van Halen's guitars, so he hot rodded it and jacked it up, and it plays great. It's a really nice guitar.
Mark, that is so cool. I forgot that it was a Tele shape. That is even cooler than, because back in the day, everybody had the cool Strat style Charvels, but that's a Tele Charvel.
Not high end. I mean, that's like, you know, I don't remember what I paid for it. It wasn't more than $1,200, though. It was probably less than that, actually. It's like a grand.
That's amazing. I mean, to get a Charvel like that.
It plays nice. I played a few gigs with it. You know, I don't gig as much as I used to. I know you still gig, and I'm jealous of you for that. But I did.
We should gig.
I should. One of those screaming metal shows.
Let's do another one.
Played Looks to Kill on that. There's actually
nice
video up on the Talking Metal YouTube page. And guys, if you don't subscribe to the YouTube page, if you're watching this on YouTube right now, please subscribe, because John, get this. Our good friend John Simpson works for YouTube now. And he told me.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he told me that if we can get 10,000 subscribers, I think we're like somewhere between 5 and 6 right now, and they're all real.
We can do it.
And YouTube will know if they're not real, apparently.
Yeah, we can do real. We're not like fake computer, fake.
I'm not going to mention any names, but there's plenty of people out there who have the fake subscribers. Ours are 100% legit. I've never bought subscribers. If we can get to 10,000 after this whole COVID-19 nonsense is over, we can use the high-end Google-owned YouTube studio. It's apparently amazing at Chelsea Piers. He said Hudson Yards. I don't know where
that is. Oh, that's even cooler than Chelsea Piers. God, yeah, Hudson Yards is the best. That's where Lynn works.
If we can get to 10,000 subscribers, we can shoot and produce our content out of there. We'll have free edit room space. They'll actually help us produce content. So everyone out there, if you're not subscribing to this YouTube page, I know right now we're on John's Facebook page streaming live, but for the people after the fact, it's youtube.com/talkingmetal. Please subscribe. It's really important because I don't know, getting to 10,000 seems kind of tough to me, but maybe
if we're halfway there, we're in good shape, but they got to be real subscribers. So people, there's some people who can fake this kind of stuff. None of our stuff is fake. It's all real. So we need real people to go on.
And I'm not going to mention any names, but I know of other YouTube shows out there that buy views and subscribers, and we don't do that. But
so the 27 people who, let's see, you know, the 24 people.
Listen, every vote counts. Every subscriber.
Go on there and do it. Believe me, if we could get there, Mark, that would be great. We can do Talking Metal jams. We can do all kind of amazing stuff from Hudson Yards, which is an amazing facility. And I guarantee we're going to be back in track soon. And New York is going to reopen. And I'm confident that somebody's going to, you know, get their head on straight soon and figure this thing out.
Yeah. Well, what's going to happen is eventually people just, they're not going to give a shit. They're just going to say, I get it. And they're going to go out.
Well,
I think, you know, the governor of New Jersey said June 6th, I'm going to respect that, but we really have to see where things are at after that. And I'm optimistic. I mean, I think with to circle back around in closing to the Chip's Enough thing, Enough's Enough. Yeah, it's a little bit of a gamble for them to book a tour starting in September. But on the other hand, if it pays off, it's a big payoff. That's what I think. Correct. I think that's kind of what Chip was saying, because people are going to be so ready for it. And if people do feel safe going out at that time, they're going to eat that up because there's not going to be anything else. Rammstein just canceled, which is a big.
Oh, they did? I didn't know that. They canceled that tour? Yep. I got tickets. So what do I do?
Here I bought from a third party, or I guess they call it. So I have no idea how I'm going to get reimbursed.
I can't believe this. So my birthday present. My birthday is right around that time. I didn't even see that they canceled. I am totally bummed out. Yeah, so
I bought on StubHub, so I'm probably eating that cost because.
So now I'm going to get credit. I'm going to have to find out. I bought it directly from Ticketmaster.
Then you should be okay. You should be okay.
How sad is that, man? We were going to have Rammstein at Giant Stadium or whatever it's called now, now it's canceled. That is terrible.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't blame Rammstein for canceling. I 100% understand that. I am so sad about that. You know what I got to do, Mark? Well, I have a computer. I have 30 computers in storage and stuff, and one of them is broken. I can't turn it back on, but on that computer is a picture of me in Richard ZK's house in Manhattan when I interviewed him for Talking Metal a long time ago.
That
picture is like missing. And it's on this broken computer. So one of these days, I'm going to take some old computer and spend whatever it takes, more than it's worth, to get it fixed just so I can get that photo up there.
Well, John, I do have to head up to put my kiddos to bed here, help Emily get these guys to bed. She was on a Zoom call with some of her old friends and reconnecting with them. And man, have you been doing much of that, like reconnecting with people?
No. You know what? Here's the thing. We reconnected with Sean Burns of Roy's
Baby. Which was great.
And then I got another request one night, but I didn't get the request at the same time. I got the request like a few nights later because I never checked my negative, guys. I don't want to even say this on this podcast. There are certain things that I don't check all the time, and there was one that I didn't check, and so I got a message way after the fact. And some other good friends of mine were reconvening, and I wish I could have been part of that.
Maybe not, because here's the deal. Like I've was listening to people online are saying, oh, this is such a magical time, spending time with your family and reconnecting with people that you haven't reconnected for a while. Yeah, it was great reconnecting with my family for about 3 days. Now it's like, I want to send those kids back to school. It's like they need
you
to
want
learn.
Them to get out of here.
Normalcy to return. And then it's like the whole thing, well, you know, you're reconnecting with old friends on Zoom and FaceTime. And it's like, yeah, I did a little bit of that. And I was like, now I remember once I started talking to these people.
I'm not connecting with them anymore. Yeah, right?
I'm not going to mention any names here, but I was like, now I remember why I haven't been in contact with these people for many years. So I don't know. The whole
that's funny.
Let's spin it. The glass is, you know, it's half full. It's half not empty. I'm over that shit, man. It's just like,
here's the deal. Guess what I did?
I'm sorry to get real here. And,
no, that's okay. I don't want to keep you from your family, but I want to tell you a story. I went out in my neighborhood with Lynn yesterday, and what did I do? It's that deep that I got to think about it. I'm kidding. It's so much on my mind. But bottom line is this. I went out, and there was a bar that was giving out. Hi, Emily. You're coming in. Oh, God.
Face.
She was making a face.
Sorry.
Emily, are you? You're not mad at me, are you?
Not at all. I've had such a good night. I'm so happy to see you.
I saw that face. Why haven't you been on the podcast or whatever this is?
I was having a Zoom session with some of my friends.
I know. You see what I got here? A martini.
We need olives for your dry martinis.
Oh my God.
Guess what I get? Guess what, Emily? I'm ready to do this tomorrow. You can call the governor of two states and tell him I'm doing this. I will bring this Dash vodka over to you. And guess what? If you don't want to get your kids sick, I'll meet you at the train. I'll come out there, and then I'll just hand it to you with a glove.
Yeah,
I'll sanitize
it. You set it down, take 6 feet back, and then
I'll bring it. I got a tape measure. I swear to God, I recently bought a tape measure for other reasons. A lot of weird stuff going on in the house of Estrada. Bought a tape measure.
I love you. And guess what?
I love you too.
I'm into the martinis, but you know, I like the super dirty martinis. Like I would.
Olive juice. Yep.
I'll just pour the olive juice in. But I also really like the blue cheese stuffed martini.
Oh, you like the blue cheese. See, I'm not as, like, they call that. No, I don't dislike it. I'm not as, not experienced. It's like, there's a word like proficient at that. I'm not as proficient at that yet. But here's the thing. If you, and I'm not even joking here. If you try this Dash, you will not believe it. It's really good. Dash is a brand of vodka that I'm going to be giving to you. And they love talking metal. It's my cousin, Hank and Rennie Reeves. And their master distiller. Made out of Berkshire, Texas, and this is going to be the new rage. I guarantee you, Chips Enough is going to be
Dash vodka.
And Emily, you like martinis? You're going to love you're going to love this Dash. I'm bringing it to you. Okay, I'll hide out. I'll put like a full body. Guess what? I don't even need a mask. I'll put the astronomy costume on.
Right there, you go.
I'll come out. How about this? I'll come out tomorrow with the helmet and the whole thing, spacesuit, silver spacesuit, 7-inch heels, and I'll just show up. Maybe we'll call the news, the Jersey channel. What channel do we got there? We'll call the what's that channel in Jersey? It's like a fake channel. I'm kidding. Call your local. Call your local TV and tell them a guy in space is. Just tell them a guy in a space is coming, and he's going to bring you some Dash vodka, and we're going to rock and roll.
But John, Emily interrupted your story. What was your story you were about to tell? Do you remember?
Which was that? I forgot.
I don't know. Yeah. Anyways. All right. Well,
everybody,
wrap it up. I do want to say that we are using Zoom to broadcast these, and we had to buy the professional business version of Zoom. And we're open for any contributions Do you want to give out your PayPal, John?
You know what? I forgot it, actually, Mark. Why don't you give out your standard Talking Metal one and just give that one out?
Yeah, well, what you guys can do to help support what we're doing is use our Amazon links on talkingmetal.com. If you use those links, nothing is more expensive or anything like that, but there is a small, very small kickback that goes back to us. And there's other ways you can support with my PayPal, which is striegelmark@gmail.com. I wanted to give yours out since you're currently...
Yeah, Mark, I wanted to, and believe it or not, I have a couple, and I forgot to check which is the right one.
Next week.
Next
so guys, listen to some of the guests we have coming up. Eric Turner of Warrant. Can I say the other one that you booked, John?
Yes, yes, definitely.
Bruce Kulick of Kiss. Possibly Rob Dukes. He wants to come on. There's a guy from Volbeat, Rob from Volbeat. We might have him on. So there's a lot of people who are asking to come on, and we cannot wait to share more of these videos with you, which are then, again, repurposed as a podcast. Blabbermouth just picked up our interview with you, with your friend Phil, and we posted the Dave Ellefson interview from last week is now on the podcast version of this and the of Talking Metal and also our YouTube page. So fun stuff. Mick said Warrant. Yes. Yep. Mick. Kevin said Bruce. Yeah, Bruce. Yep. We're psyched. We gotta come up with some good questions. I want to get some old Kiss stories from Bruce that he hasn't told anyone. Like that's what I want. I want to hear like about
I want to hear some animalized stories.
Animalized, yeah. So, great guess record, what? By the way. Wasn't on Animalized. He wasn't
on Animalized, but he was on the Animalized tour.
Yeah. Mark St. John played, what, 3 shows with him?
Yeah, like, if that, at the beginning, and then Bruce came in, and I think that Bruce was even there on the shows that Mark was there at as well, but I'm not even sure. Like, that was like, pre-internet, so who knows what was going on.
And John, I mean, you're the Kiss expert. It wasn't it crazy like that Animalized tour. There used to be a VHS of that I had. It was like,
oh, I have that. I have. Yeah, that's great.
Which was so good. That Kiss in the 80s, like especially in the middle era of the 80s. I'm talking like 83 through like 87, 88. They really were reinventing themselves as a new band and played very little stuff from the 70s. At one time, there were like 4 songs from the 70s in the set list. It was like Rock and Roll All Night, Detroit City, maybe Love Gun, maybe Cold Gin or Black Diamond. But it was like, that was it. And the rest were 80s era Kiss songs.
Yeah.
And makeup was off. And people don't realize this now. And I say this all the time. I know I sound like a broken record. Emily, you can tell me to shut up. But the 70s that became so cool in the 90s, in the 80s they weren't. People were like Black Sabbath and Kiss, stuff. Yeah. And high heels, that stuff is stupid, you know. And you saw Ozzy, you saw Kiss, you saw so many bands, even Thin Lizzy in 82, like ditching the bell bottoms for, you know, bullet belts and studded belts and trying not to be 70s. There was so... The 70s was not cool in the 80s. It wasn't. Right.
You know what? I've been watching. You know what I was watching last night? You guys are going to laugh. 80s
era Kiss was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love 80s era Kiss.
It's not celebrated enough, and I'm so glad we have Bruce coming on.
Yeah, no, believe me. Bruce Kulick is one of my favorite musicians in the entire world, and I'm glad he's going to be on next week. And I was watching a lot of 80s stuff last night. I was watching Vinnie Vincent Invasion videos, a lot of just Aldo Nova. Remember Aldo Nova?
Fantasy.
Yeah, it was Fantasy, and he wrote with John Bon Jovi.
That was a big FM hit in the Midwest, man.
I love that song. That's one of my favorite songs. I think Astronomy and Captain T should do a cover of Fantasy someday.
Yeah, that's a great song, man.
That would be great.
You know who loved Bon Jovi was a big
album. Can I play drums?
That's what I said. Yeah, Emily, you can be the lead vocalist if you want. Whatever you want to do.
I can sing too.
Well, on the podcast version of this, we slipped in that Enough's Enough. I'll drop that in earlier, that Fire and Ice song. But we should end with Aldo Nova.
Let's end with Alanova Fantasy. That would be great.
Let's do it right now here on Talking Metal. Guys, take care. Please subscribe to the YouTube page and let us know what you think of this episode. Thank you.
Thank you, people. Have a great night, everybody.
We missed you tonight.
I know.